Hello.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing much better. Thank you so much for asking. I'm going to pull up the draft really quick and take out the note that the team sent so we can have this discussion, okay?
Yes, of course.
Okay, perfect. Please stay on the line.
Oh, what a day.
Okay. All right. So, Maria, I am ready. Let me know once you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, perfect. All right, now the team had sent a couple of questions for you earlier in order to continue with chapter 4. So I'm going to read that note, okay? At
Okay.
this point, we'll need to know if you made it out of this toxic relationship. How and when did your marriage end with Ifran? Ifran, right? Is that the name?
Efren, yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so yes, I did end the marriage. We finally got a divorce in 2011. My best friend had shown up. She told me this several months later, because I was just tired of everything. I was just literally tired of everything and everyone, including my children, my mother, my life. And I knew that day I was in trouble. I was like, I'm done. All I saw was red. So I went to the restroom, and on that fateful day, on the 13th of January of 2011, I shot myself. I made one phone call, and it was to my dear friend Jane, and I said, "I'm sorry. Please tell everybody I'm sorry. This was not me being selfish. It's just can't do it no more." And hung up the phone, went to the restroom, did what I had to do, washed my hands. I heard her call back. She talked to my husband at the time, and I could hear her talking. "Oh yeah, she's fine. She's in the bathroom. Everything's okay." Make a long story short, he never, never goes into the bathroom. Never. We never have conferences together because when he's mad at me or I'm mad at him, we just keep our distance big time. But this one fateful night, he decided to just walk into the bathroom, and I never locked it because I didn't focus on that. He walked in as I was aiming the gun to myself.
Oh
We
my.
wrestled for the gun. We wrestled, but the gun obviously went off because I was determined. So I ended up shooting myself, and I was so angry. I was just so bitter, so tired, just so emotionally drained. I was just done. I was done, and I just couldn't take it anymore. So I wasn't bleeding out or anything because I can hear him calling 911, and they're asking him if I'm to keep me awake. And if he started seeing any blood, he said no. So of course they're thinking internal bleeding. So then, on February of 2011, February 14th, I went in front of the judge. He didn't show up this time. He didn't go. He was out drinking and smoking, and I guess he was nervous. And I know he didn't want the divorce. Part of him knew that it had to happen, though. So I was in front of the judge and crying up a storm. I mean, just crying. And I couldn't release anything. And the judge was like, "But then when the judge says there was a bullet, there was a gun involved, there was some shooting involved," she didn't think about it twice. She just granted me the divorce. And then I went back home. We lived in the apartment instead of the house. And then My dear friend Jane, she made sure that I showed up to court because this was like maybe the fifth or sixth time facing the judge. Not facing the judge, because the first judge we faced, I had broken my ankle. Mm-hmm. And so I went with crutches, and that's one of those first times my friend went with me to see the judge. And the judge says, you two people look very much in love, and you don't look like you're ready to be divorced. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell are you talking about, sir?
Mm-hmm.
So Ephraim and I, we went back home and gave it another shot. And then, of course, these are called honeymoon phases. Of course, he was on his well-behaved time.
Mm-hmm.
It was always so good when it was good. Mm-hmm. But then when it was bad, it was really bad. And it was more bad than there was good. So that's why Jane shows up on the day before my court date and says, I'm going with you to the courthouse. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's awesome. So I went through my divorce, and then I gave her a ride to go see her daughter in Jacksonville. And she calls me, and she says, so are you ready to go? I said, going where? Where am I going? She goes, you're going home with me. I said, I am? When was this springed out on me? Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, you're going home with me. So I took anything that would fit in my 2010 Nissan Altima,
mm-hmm.
red one. I put whatever, I started with the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
I started putting everything that I could, that meant more to me than anything. I put whatever I could fit in the car, I put it in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, do you need some help? I said, no. But she and I were, you know, shitting bricks because we were scared too, because my husband said, well, at this point, he's not my ex-husband. He decided to make sure my brakes were good, and he made sure that my oil change was good. And she's like, Maria, he ain't going to kill us, is he? I said, no. No, at least I hope not, because I don't mind if he kills me, but you is a whole different story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But because you were in my car, I don't think he's going to, he's not that cool. He's crazy, but not that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so how I got home, and needless to say that how I got welcomed into Minnesota was with a snowstorm. It took us 3 days to get from Florida to Minnesota, 3 days, because we stopped in Texas and Ruby Falls, which was beautiful, loved it. And, of course, then when we got here in Minnesota, we were like maybe 3 hours away from her house, but we couldn't see anything, and the car was slipping and sliding because it was a blizzard. I drove into a blizzard. So I said, okay, you look for the hotel. I will concentrate on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened. She's like, okay, right there. I see next exit, Maria. I see a hotel. And luckily was a hotel,
mm-hmm.
with a gas station with a restaurant inside of it. We were so, like, we were feeling so blessed at that point in time. I said, I told you, God's watching over us, honey. We're good.
Right.
And so we went, had a great meal, put some gas in the car, slept in the hotel, woke up the next morning and took back off, and it was beautiful. Cold, but beautiful. And we made it to her house, and that's how I got out of my marriage. And Ethan and I still talked for a short period of time because I was so angry. I was still so bitter, so that I gave myself into alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And the first few weeks that I was living in the state of Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
I worked from home. So I worked for a few months until March.
Mm-hmm.
I was more of a, my favorite meal of the day was I had bottles of wine. I'd literally get out of my room just to go and get, two cases of wine,
mm-hmm.
a case of water, and saltine crackers. That was my breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Wow.
With the occasion of Jane knocking on my door and saying, Maria, I need help with something. Can you help me out? And, of course, I know she did not need help. She just did that to get me out of my room and make me eat something.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So she was my distraction. She used a lot of maneuvers to get me out of my room, and and she knew. I mean, I'd be up dancing in the room, getting a lot of tension out myself, because I was still tired. I was tired of feeling. I'm tired of everything. I was just simply tired of men, tired of my own kids, tired of my life, and I just didn't want to exist anymore. There was no reason, no purpose for me to exist. Mm-hmm. Well, at least that's what I thought back then.
Right.
But I got out of that, and I started to date maybe one or two people here and there, and my dating was skeptical too, because there's one guy that I dated that had a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
He picked me up in a motorcycle, and Jane and Jerry are like, oh boy, should we let her go? They're like, she's an adult. She can do whatever she wants.
Right.
And so I went, and I came back in one piece, but again, the angels are watching me, because when you're riding a motorcycle, you should not be drinking, because it's called balancing.
Mm-hmm.
But I survived all that. I survived, obviously, because here I am.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the book is called Tired of Fuck, because I was just tired of being the perfect wife, the perfect mother, the perfect sister, the perfect adult, the perfect, oh, Margie does no wrong. It's like, yes, I do. I do a lot of screw up. That was a teenage mother. But even though I was a teenage mom, I was more of an adult than adult for adults. Because I've been helping raise my family after my father died. And
so you picked up the mantle, and when you're young and you get so many responsibilities, so yeah, that happens. You age really quickly, or you become mature really quickly at a very early age.
And that's what happened to me. I matured very, very young. And then people were saying, a baby with a baby. Shut the front door, baby. No, I got pregnant because I was afraid of men at that point in time, because I'd been raped by people who I knew. And I knew him, and I liked him a lot. And I was just, I didn't think that he was going to be coming through the window from my dad's house. And then the next thing I knew, that very same day, I knew I was pregnant. Don't know how. Don't know. I called my really good friend at the time, and I was like, Millie, this is how I feel. And she told, and then she said, Margie, it sounds like you're pregnant. I said, I know. I feel pregnant. And it's that same exact day. But, of course, my 16 came through, and thank goodness my aunt bought the dress bigger, and we needed to take it in. But, nope, we did not need to take it in, because I was getting bigger, and my dad said, Margie, got to watch that belly there. And I said, Daddy, it will take 9 months for this to go away. But I didn't say that out loud. I said that within myself. But my dad was an amazing man. He was very loved by the public. He was a firefighter. He was a volunteer for the ambulance corps, and I joined him. I was the youngest paramedic student, and the only reason I got in was because of my dad. So it was a thing for father and daughter. And I mean, he was just my he was an amazing man. And after he passed on, my mother and I, that's how my mother and I got closer. My mother and I developed a much better relationship. And I was able to actually tell her I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to tell her that I'm forgiving her.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like I tell my sisters today. I said, you know what? How I get over this anger, and how I've been able to move forward with my life and not hang it over myself and say, poor me, poor me. I had a messed up childhood. I had a messed up childhood. Absolutely, sure did.
Mm-hmm.
I was abused since I think the day I was born. That's how it feels like to me. I've been beaten my entire life until the past few years, until 2011. not another man has ever laid a hand on me, because I will go ape shit on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not allowed. I'm not a punching bag. I'm nobody's punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
So, my mother and I, every Christmas, every year, every single year after my father passed away, every year my family and I would drive to New York, spend mm-hmm. Christmas with them and New Year's, mm-hmm. and then come home and celebrate New Year's. It's called the Three Kings Day, which is January 6th. So my mm-hmm. kids always had what they thought it was two Christmases, because
okay.
they had Christmas in my mother's house and then
mm-hmm.
Christmas at our home, because Christmas Day we were at my mom's house.
Right.
A lot.
And that must be exciting for them. Exciting for them.
Oh, that was very exciting, because they got gifts galore, and we
right.
just had to drive all those gifts home.
Exactly.
But it was fun. And my mother and I got closer, and forgiveness was a lot there, and
mm-hmm.
she even babysat for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was giving birth to my daughter, she babysat my boys.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my baby sister did more of the babysitting, but she helped watch them, and it's like my mother's a lion, too. You know,
mm-hmm.
she was this horrendous woman when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's like I tell my sisters, I wouldn't have my three children.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been blessed with having seven grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to live forward, I had to forgive. It was not the easiest thing. I have to forgive and move forward. I can't hold on to what has happened to me, because if I want to see a better future for myself, I have to let go
yes.
of that anger, let
mm-hmm.
go of that bitterness, let go of that hatred. Just I had to let go and see the person, because she does have mental illness. Mental illness, as I learned going forward in life, mental illness is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a thing, because I even developed depression for myself.
Absolutely.
And
we pay no attention to it. You know, it's like nothing for a lot of people.
Exactly. And people are like downing on people who are depressed, or people who have been fighting a demon that they can't seem to find a way to stop it.
Exactly.
But there is hope. But there is hope, and there is a possibility. There is a way to defeat it. You just have to be able to face your demons.
Exactly.
And that itself is not, absolutely not the easiest thing in the world, because it took me years.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I am striving. I'm building my own businesses. I finally have a relationship that means something, and it's very respectful, and it's very meaningful. He and I have been dating now for 2 years and 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and I can't tell you any argument. I don't know if anybody was going to get really loud, would be me, because
wow.
I was ready. I was so ready.
You really deserve it now. I mean, after what you've been through. And that brings me to my next question, Maria. After Efren, what did the next chapter of life have in store for you? What did you do after him?
My next chapter after him is, well, after I was engaged once, but that was a disaster. I ended up building, now I have my own insurance office.
Mm-hmm.
I am investing in homes and real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I am also a notary, so I have a notary business as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have been very blessed with a man, his name is Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been truly a godsend for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so weird, because I thought he was the most rudest man on the planet when I met him, and I thought nothing of it. But when we started, he's the first person that I've broken. I had rules for dating. I mean, I had rules for days.
Mm-hmm.
But with him, we even the first date, our very first date, we were talking up a storm. We talked all the time, and then the bar closed because this was just when the bars opened up in June, something I believe in 2020, and I was like, hey, so you want to, because we, that's another reason, we share the same birthday.
Wow.
The exact same birthday, except he's still a year older than me, which, of course, I brag about that.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I didn't see my life as a future with him at all because he was rude.
Mm-hmm.
But
how did
when
you
we
guys
started
meet?
Talking, we met at work.
Okay.
I have a really, I worked for Delta. I had just gotten hired on Delta, and a mutual friend of ours.
This was after Ifrin, right? You were doing work from home.
This was way after Ifrin, yeah. This was 11 years later.
Oh, my
well,
gosh. Okay.
Yeah, 11 years later.
What did you do in those 11 years?
What I did with those 11 years, I traveled the world. I got my insurance license in 2012. I did a lot of traveling. I was basically focused on a lot of my family. I hung out with my mom a lot, with my sisters, with my friends. I went and saw my grandchildren. They know when grandma's coming to town. I traveled back and forth to see them for their birthdays and in between just to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
I dated here and there to the point that I even, like I said, I did get engaged at one point, but it took 7 times for me to say yes to him.
Wow.
That should have told me it was a bad, you know what, that's one thing I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to your intuition. When it doesn't feel right, go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just give in to, well, maybe I'm just too insecure. Maybe I'm just too picky. Maybe I'm just
mm-hmm.
this, maybe that. No, don't do that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. I needed to stick to my instincts, and I didn't because I was too afraid. I'm always, because maybe I've missed an opportunity of a lifetime, and something told me, Margie, he's not it. And
mm-hmm.
I still said yes to him. And the, you know, and the worst part is we bought a house together. That was even worse.
Okay.
It wasn't even meant to be. Well, the house, I finally refinanced the house this past year.
Mm-hmm.
I refinanced it. And now I officially own it by myself.
That's
so
nice.
I own my own home. And I have my son, his wife, and 2 children that live with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my grandchildren finally visit me for 3 weeks. I was able to get them round-trip tickets back and forth. And then I was just, it's been a rocky 11 years of
mm-hmm.
self-healing, of making sure and hanging out with friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was more for a lot of mental awareness. I went to church a lot, and I joined a couple of groups. I did a couple of lessons. I did quite a bit just to make sure that I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I dated here and there, and that didn't work for me.
Let me just
work
include,
for me.
I'm so sorry I'm interrupting. Let me just include my next question as well, so it's going to give you more perspective. How did your life change when you left your friend? So now you can continue with that self-healing and the 11 years that you spent here and there, and then we'll continue off from there.
Okay. Well, I just took a couple of, I did a bucket list of where I wanted to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I went to as far as Fiji with a few girlfriends, and I just gave myself a lot. I started working 4 or 5 different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So basically for 11 years, all I did was self-healing, self-meditate, taking a lot of classes, read a lot, go out with people that I love and respect me too. A lot of dancing. Oh, my gosh. Talk about getting your emotions out. Dance it all out. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
Okay.
What else? That's about really all I did for 11 years. Besides, I did crazy dating, that's for sure. And so I met Drew, and so I got the job at met Drew, and then he and I just pretty much now still together to this day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what did you learn, and how strong did you find yourself after you ended things with Efren?
When I ended things with him, I still doubted myself. Did I do the right thing? Did I had a lot of self-doubt. Was I too picky? Was I too hard? Was I not worthy to be loved? Was that my destiny? There was a lot of self-doubt. It was... I even almost wanted to get back together with him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, even marriage came up again, but we never did, thank God. We never did tie the knot for the second time. We didn't do that. Because, again, your instincts are on point, which you need to listen to. And I started listening to my things. And he and I still don't see eye to eye in today's society, in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did was I hurt me a lot more than I thought, where I did a lot of self-inflicted pain.
Mm-hmm.
I drank a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of stupid stuff. So, again, like I said, it was a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of feelings that I wasn't worth it. I wasn't worth to live. I wasn't worth respecting. I wasn't worth anything. Self-worth was very, very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, what I personally learned, I went through something similar to, and it was a phase, you know, I suffered from depression, anxiety. It was a very low phase of my life, you can say. And the things that I learned over there was that you either feel sorry for yourself, you start to feel like you're a victim, or you come too hard on yourself. Like, I mean, why does this happen to me? Or why is it always me? What did I do? Why I keep messing things up? I have to be perfect. Things like that. So I struggled with these two things, either this or that. Did something similar happen with you?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's what you were referring to. My apologies. I mean, I struggled a lot with, did I actually deserve everything I got.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way he looked at other women, I was like, felt less than what I thought I was worth. I wasn't worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
When I got out of the marriage, I was so angry and so bitter that I was just hating so much on myself. And one day I woke up and said, why are you hating yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you still looking at that bullet shoot and being pissed off at God because he didn't take you when you were supposed to be taken? You were ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not. You're not ready to go. You're better than this. You are a wonderful, beautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
I would put post-its on my mirror,
mm-hmm,
telling me how beautiful I was every morning. I had to look at that every morning. And whenever I wanted to feel like I wanted to rip it away and put it in the garbage,
mm-hmm,
I had done that. But then I would put another selfie note and said, you are still beautiful. You are strong. And I make sure that I remembered these things,
right,
about myself.
That is
because amazing. I knew I was strong. I knew that I was a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I had an attitude enough to control anyone who's trying to manipulate me ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't weak, like I told myself that I was weak, I was stupid, I was. So instead, I did a lot of, I did a lot of reading about self, how to love yourself,
mm-hmm.
How to respect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that, you know, you don't feel beautiful at all because I'm like, oh my God, how can anybody be interested in this broken? Because the key thing to myself was I was broken.
Mm-hmm.
I felt broken. And people were telling me I'm broken. So I believed that I was totally broken and not worth loving, not worth living.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to a lot of songs. I listened and I would scream like it's a song called Mercy Me. It's from Mercy Me. I will praise you in the storm. And I prayed. My number one thing I did a lot was I did go to church. I surrounded myself with what they call a life group.
Mm-hmm.
And we would sit down and talk about the Sunday sermon. And then we break, and then we pray for each other. And then we have, our own little counseling session. Everybody has a turn talking about what's profound in their life and what's going on. And so a lot of praying, lots and lots of praying. And I sometimes said to myself, God has wearing his earplugs on me right now because I've talked to him so much. And before I opened my mouth, I was like, okay, God, I know you may not be listening, but this here we go again. I can't fight this battle because there's so many times I literally was looking for a tree a lot, a tree to wrap. I didn't want to take nobody with me. I wanted to wrap my car around a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I never found that tree. I was always, because I was always singing, I was always praising, I was always talking to other people, and especially when I did, I volunteered a lot. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of volunteering, and in doing that volunteering, you hear other people's stories, mm-hmm. and you hear what they're going through, and it's like, oh, buckets of hell, I am not by myself. I'm not the only dumb bimbo on this planet, and stop calling yourself dumb bimbo. So I just helped pray with them, and I helped girls, teenagers. And then I got involved with what they call the Enduring Hope, which is now a nonprofit for the homeless.
Okay.
And I've been doing that for 11 years.
Wow.
As well. I just started helping the homeless and giving backpacks that have toiletries, socks, and T-shirts and stuff like that. I started doing that. I started giving back. I've always been a giver, but I really started giving more back with my heart and soul. So that's what I did during that time. And again, this is still a work in progress. It was greatness to know that I was helping somebody else with just listening to their stories and listening to why they're homeless. And they have no shame, and they'll tell you why they're homeless. They'll tell you.
Yes.
But that was my thing with them. That's what I got myself involved, because it was not about me anymore. It was just me trying to wrap my head around, man, this guy got it worse. I never downgraded myself, because that's what I did for a short time. I did that. I was like, yeah, he's got it bigger. I have nothing compared to this person going through this. But you can't do that either. You got to acknowledge what you're going through.
That's true.
Deal with it. And
so
then I have
the first
to
step,
do that.
And then you change. First of all, you need to accept.
And that's exactly what I did. I accepted that, yep, I needed to feel the anger. I needed to feel the hate. I needed to feel it all. And then let it back out, and never look back. Just don't look back. Because looking back is saving who? Who is it saving? Who is it helping? Nobody, except it's bringing you down and making your target to be, what, alone because you're miserable all the time?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not doing that again, Maria. We're not doing it. I do a lot of stuff talking to myself, which sounds crazy at the same time, but truth be told, that helps a lot. It's just, self-medicating did not help, and self-medicating means, you know, alcohol. That didn't work because it numbs the pain, but you don't deal with the pain. It's going to always be there. No matter what you get into, no matter what you do, no matter how far you go, the pain will remain until it is dealt with, until you acknowledge, I'm going through this, and I'm going to deal with it, and I'm going to see what the hell the universe wants from me, because I'm done with this. And we move forward. It's a lot easier said than done, that's for sure.
That's true. I don't know what happened. I mean, I was having such a terrible day today, Maria, to be very honest with you. Maybe I needed to hear this. I'm
sorry.
So glad
I'm having a bad day. I'm sorry?
I'm saying I'm so glad I spoke to you today. Maybe I needed to hear all this. I mean, I was having such a bad day today.
I'm sorry that you were having a bad day.
You know, it happens. It's just a phase when you get anxious and things are not going your way. You're just falling behind or falling short on everything. That's what's been going on. And you're right. And if we keep sulking on things like that, we can never change the situation. We can never turn our life around.
Exactly. You can't. And you know what? At the end of the day, I have learned to live with that tomorrow is not promised. So I'm going to do everything I can while I'm here and now.
Absolutely.
Because my problems will stay. My financial status will stay. Everything stays. And, you know, I also lived with saying to my jobs, you know what, I may need some money, but I don't need it that bad that I'm going to end up passing out here. No job, no one is above my life. And once I got that through my head, I was in a better situation mentally wise. I don't have a problem with confrontation. I am sometimes a little bit too bold, which I'm working on, but you know, I just am, because I will not allow anyone to speak to me as if I'm nothing or I'm nobody, because I am someone. I am loved. I am a woman to be reckoned with.
That's true. And I am highly inspired. Thank you so much for this session, Maria. I will be calling you again with the next set of questions, but before that, I'm going to send you another chapter, okay, in which we will incorporate all this information. You can review that. I would need your feedback in order to proceed further on the next chapter, and then we'll take things from there, okay?
Okay.
All right.
No problem. Thank you so much, and it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I feel so much better, so thanks a lot for that as well.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, we actually, your session helped me and you both.
Yes. Well, you know what? You are worth it too.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You have yourself a wonderful weekend, okay?
You too. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.